100 ESPN.
Not terribly convincing.
Inside the 1600 ESPN studios on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. Stay With Me by Rod Stewart. Oh, what could that possibly be a lead into? We're talking Cade McNamara on Hawkeye football with John Steppe of the Cedar Rapids Gazette every Wednesday at 7:40. Are you tired yet of joining me at 7:40 to talk about this team so far this season, John?
No, never. I always look forward to 7:40 every Wednesday morning.
Are we running for office of the, what is this, the Kiss the Ring Club here? Apparently the media is at fault now for Iowa and Cade McNamara.
Apparently. That's a new culprit to me. I asked the perk about Cade in East Lansing on Saturday. There are plenty of questions about him on Tuesday. Well, I guess yesterday that is. See, that caffeine has not kicked in yet this morning. So apparently, though, we're just kissing the ring, and it's because of us. But what else is new?
Yeah, because we need to protect the amazing access that we get to Kirk Ferentz and the Hawkeye football program. I asked earlier today for examples in the last 20 years where the backup quarterback actually proved to be better than the starting quarterback at Iowa. The listeners came up with, I had one, and that was Rudock and Beathard. The listeners came up with Jake Christensen and Ricky Stanzi. But outside of that, John, more often than not, when Iowa stands by a starting quarterback, it's because he actually is the best option. Now, I'm going to ask you this. Do you feel that that's the case here with Cade McNamara? Because we've seen Brendan Sullivan on the field at times this year, and it does look like he gives them a little something different.
Yeah, the difference, I would say, now versus the majority of the previous 25 seasons in the Kirk Ferentz era is Iowa has a backup quarterback who has starting experience in the Big Ten and has done decently when you look at his numbers. You know, it's not perfect, but you look at what Cade right now is doing, and that's not perfect. So I think it's no guarantee that Cade is the best guy for this job. When you look at what Brendan Sullivan has been able to do in the red zone, obviously it's a much smaller sample size, and half the time he's just handing the ball off. But you need to have a quarterback who can, you know, as cliche as this sounds, make the makeables. And you look at what Cade McNamara did, or more so what he didn't do in East Lansing, and that certainly was not the only culprit in that loss. Defensively, that was a really bad performance. That's probably the worst that I've seen Phil Parker's defense play. But you need to have a quarterback who can at least put you a little more in a position to win games. When you look at it, down 8 in the fourth quarter, he throws that interception where Luke Lachey was practically in Battle Creek, and compared to where the ball actually was.
Serial capital of the world, Battle Creek, Michigan.
Yes. And Grand Rapids, which apparently has the Gerald Ford Presidential Museum. I did not get to go there, though. So you look at it, and yeah, it's an issue for Iowa in terms of being able to. Obviously, they've got a spectacular rushing attack with Caleb Johnson, but there are going to be times where you fall behind and you're in need of that passing threat to exist. And Michigan State, I think, did a better job of bottling up Caleb Johnson than anybody else. And they were basically just daring Iowa to throw the ball. And 11 of 23 is not going to cut it in those situations.
I feel like we'd just be beating a dead horse here if we kept on with the quarterbacks here. 59 games since Iowa has had a 300-yard passing performance from a quarterback. That is the most by far of any Power Four program. But the issues, at least last Saturday, went far beyond Cade McNamara. You alluded to the tackling or lack thereof. To me, that was the most alarming aspect of the loss, was how you just completely fall apart with something as simple as tackling. I was a little frustrated yesterday listening to the players, and clearly, and we know this from our our dealings, they sort of are given a page to be on and they stay on it. It was credit to Michigan State, and we've just got to work on the fundamentals. And nobody was willing to offer any specifics about what went wrong Saturday. How alarmed or concerned would you be as a fan about the defensive issues we've seen with this team?
I wouldn't necessarily be, hitting the red panic button entirely, but there certainly is a reason for concern when you look at, it's particularly alarming a couple of those Aiden Childs runs. And Childs is a talented quarterback, so there is that. But they're going to be going up against other talented quarterbacks and other talented runners. And as much as they were talking about fundamentals, a lot of that is Iowa is just not tackling fundamentally soundly. So that's a key aspect of it. And it's certainly concerning when you look at it. I think it's 468 total yards they gave up. And they also gave up 400 plus against Ohio State. They came close. I think it was 393 against Washington. So, they go 32 consecutive games without giving up 400 yards, and now they've given up 400 in two of the last three, almost three of the last three. And yeah, I think that's a reason for concern. Part of the formula for Iowa to win games in the last couple of years has been with elite defense and elite special teams. And what we might be seeing here is a drop off from elite to still usually very good, but with some exceptions. And it puts a little more pressure on the offense than what we've seen in past years.
All right, where are the Hawkeyes from an injury standpoint, as you understand it, coming into this game on Saturday?
Yeah, some good news, some bad news. Good news, Sebastian Castro, Cohen Entringer are both back to practicing. Castro missed the Michigan State game, and Entringer left the Michigan State game. So that's the good news. Hayden Large played for the first time since the Ohio State game, and Kirk said that he was sore but doing fine. The not as good news is Addison Estrango is still going to be out a while, and Bo Stevens also going to be out. Now, it's interesting, Tyler Ellsbury has been the starting left guard in place of Bo Stevens, but we also saw some Cade Pieper, and I asked Kirk about that, and that was entirely the plan, to have both of them get some time, and it sounds like we could see that potentially again. So offense is going to be down still a couple starting caliber players, but at least the defense will have their All-American safety back. Not that one player was the reason for Saturday's shortfalls, but you'd certainly rather have Castro on the field than not.
John Steppe of the Cedar Rapids Gazette, who joins me every Wednesday throughout the football season. You give him a follow on X at JSteppe1. That's JSTEPPE1. We heard yesterday from Jacob Gill, did not get to talk to Brendan Sullivan. Both of them transferred from Northwestern to Iowa in the spring. How much, if any, knowledge that they have could possibly help the Hawkeyes in preparing for this game on Saturday?
Yeah, I definitely think there's probably some things that they can pull. There's certainly a familiarity. Jacob Gill was signing out, a quarter system with some Tampa 2. So, it isn't like other years where maybe you have a coaching change at the school in between. And no, it's still David Braun there. So, I'd say there's probably some familiarity there. Both of them, it's interesting. Jacob was not necessarily making a huge deal out of it, but you can tell that it has significance for both of them. We did talk to Brendan Sullivan last week. So it's going to be, I think, a special game for each of them. And it'd be even more special if Iowa pulls the trigger on a quarterback change. But you look at it, and it'll be a little bit of a homecoming. And for Gill, it really shows how much of progress he's made, because he's had far bigger of a role here at Iowa than he had in any of his seasons at Northwestern.
This Northwestern team does not appear to be very good, John. So what are your expectations on Saturday?
Well, I would first have the caveat of we didn't think that Michigan State team was very good.
Touche, touche.
we saw what happened on Saturday, but I don't see this Northwestern team at the same caliber as Michigan State. You look at Michigan State's three losses, and one of them was to Ohio State, another was to Oregon. Those teams were, I think, 1-3 on my AP ballot this week. So two really good teams. And one of Northwestern's losses is to Indiana, which is undefeated and has looked better than anybody expected. But you look at the other losses, Washington, Wisconsin, decent, but it's not the same as the Michigan State resume there. So you look at it, and there's going to be openings to beat this Northwestern team. Iowa certainly has had its fair share of quarterback struggles, but when you look at it, Northwestern might even have them beat on how bad their passing situation is. So 130th in team passer rating. So this is not a spectacular Northwestern team, but Northwestern historically has competed, kind of punched above its weight in terms of being competitive with the Hawkeyes. We saw it last year at Wrigley Field, and we've seen that many other occasions. So I don't necessarily think that this is one that's going to be a blowout from start to finish, but this is certainly a very winnable game on the slate for the Hawkeyes.
Speculative question on your part here, but do we hear Boo Birds at any point in time on Saturday in Kinnick Stadium?
That feels like a pretty easy yes.
Okay. I don't want to speak for you, but...
Well, I think that I hear the fans with the frustration on Cade McNamara. My inbox certainly reflects that, and I think all that it takes is be one bad drive to be hearing the Boo Birds out, and I understand the frustration, especially when you think about how much NIL money is going to Cade. You know, there's an investment made by the fans there that certainly has not been getting a good return so far.
All right, John, what are folks reading from you at thegazette.com in anticipation of the homecoming showdown with Northwestern on Saturday?
Yeah, I wrote yesterday about how if there's a silver lining here, that Iowa has been pretty good in terms of bouncing back from games. When you look at what they did after Iowa State, of course, that was against Troy, and what they did after Ohio State against Washington, which was probably their best game of the year. So that's already up on thegazette.com. Looking kind of a little more into the numbers with this defense that, as we were talking about, uncharacteristically bad. And Iowa is certainly hoping that this is uncharacteristic and not a sign of what's to come. And then I'll be writing about Drew Stephens, who's been having an improved season. He missed one field goal against Michigan State, but that was a 58-yarder, and it was not an issue in terms of kick power. So those will be some of the things, some other things that you can find at thegazette.com.
John, are you aware of the Mayo meter that we have here at 1600 ESPN, tracking Iowa's progress toward the Duke's Mayonnaise Bowl?
I think I might have to witness this. Is it a physical Mayo meter?
No, not yet. Not yet, but we could
okay,
always...
Okay, well, I'll give you a week.
Okay.
I'll go in studio next week, and I want to see a physical Mayo meter.
I will put our massive budget behind every effort to make a physical Mayo meter here. One last question for you, John. Who won that Illinois-Michigan game last week?
I think that was Illinois. So I guess it is now a competition. Now you aren't behind me in the pick 'em standing.
Wartburg and Co., how much did you pay JR to put that one on the list this week? That feels like some sort of separator there. We got the picks this week. It's Northwestern Iowa, Penn State, Wisconsin, and Wartburg at Co. You can read them at thegazette.com and, of course, in the print edition on Saturday. John, appreciate the time as always, and we'll see you Saturday afternoon in Iowa City.
Thanks. Always a pleasure.
John Stepe, that was a bald-faced lie. John Stepe, the Cedar Rapids Gazette. It's always a pleasure. Now, I love John. He's a great guy. Everybody who covers the Hawkeyes, we all, for the most part, get along. And we're all the problem, according to... We've now moved on from we can't get mad at Kirk Ferentz. Well, we can. And we can't get mad at Tim Lester. Well, we can. And it doesn't do any good. So who can we be mad at that will make us feel better as a as an Iowa fan base, you have now moved on to being mad at the media because you want Kirk Ferentz to be absolutely roasted by the media at his news conference on Tuesday. I invite anybody to listen to how the questions were put to Kirk, the follow-up questions. He's being pressed on this as respectfully as one can in a professional setting, and you don't like the answers. Don't shoot the messenger. 319-366-1600. We got the 8 o'clock hour coming up. I am now officially a mentor. This is a huge, huge change for me in my life. I will give you the details on that. We'll have anything more on the DeAndre Hopkins trade with the Kansas City Chiefs and the Wheel of Beef, among other things, coming up in the 8 o'clock hour. Plus, I'm going to check in with Isaac. We now have a new project on our hands. We have to bring the mail meter to life. I was not anticipating this. Steppy threw me a curveball. Stick around. More to come.
Eastern Iowa weather from 1600 ESPN.